This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
Lorraine Groh says she's tired of the insults, especially with Tom Brady and what he did during the boat parade.
It takes a lot of work, a lot of hard work. This trophy was disgraced and disrespected by being on the ground as if it was a real football.
Oh, get over yourself.
I passed 2 nights because of this. I was that upset.
Oh.
An apology.
What? They didn't drop it.
To me and my family and the other silversmiths, but to the fans.
Yes. He owes the silversmiths in the world an apology.
Whatever, man. Get out of here.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, the fun we have on this show. Glad to have you listening on a Thursday. Tomorrow, hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. We'll tell you what we got cooking and also what is going to happen over the weekend with the Hawks back in action. We got a lot of stuff going on. First spring game coming up on Saturday. So lots to talk about, man. But we've spent a lot of time, guys, on the upcoming draft, and rightfully so. We haven't picked this high since 2008. Last time we did, we picked a guy named Matt Ryan. And we've been trying to get as much information as we can right now. Now, the next thing we're waiting on, by the way, for those who are wondering, like, okay, Dukes hadn't made your decision yet. Mike says he wants a quarterback. I'm still waiting on the pro day information. And those are going to happen next month. And once we find out, you know, what guys run, what they look like, are there any other concerns that come out, then I'll start to assess, as I told you guys yesterday. But we want to continue to talk about the draft because, as Mike and I have said today, there are reports out there that, you know, one guy, Mel Kiper, has us moving from 4 to 2 to take a quarterback. It makes no sense. But let's talk to Brian Fisher about this. Athlon Sports. Yeah. Why, you think it makes sense, Mike?
No, I just after the conversation we had last hour about the Texans, if the Jets were able to get Deshaun Watson, the Texans would then have that second pick, and they're going to get a quarterback. So,
well, yes.
But, I
yes.
mean, that's only if you've earmarked Zach Wilson. Let's see what the guy over here says. Which do you want? You want Zach Wilson? You want Justin Fields if you're the Falcons? Who do you want?
I think if I'm the Falcons, bringing the native son.
Time out. We got to put you on hold. We'll come right back. We'll get you right back on. I have no idea. That's twice this week. That line
sounds like it's
haunted.
You know what it's like when you watch 60 Minutes and they have a mob informant, you know, like, and they have him in the shadow. You can't see his face, and they vocode the voice. I was working with the Gambinos. Yeah, anyway, we'll get him right.
That sounded like haunted to me, like, I will kill you. I was like, hold on.
Wait, I was like, you said haunted. What do you mean haunted? Like Freddy Krueger's on this thing?
Yes. Didn't that sound weird to you guys? Either way, it's our line. We'll get it fixed up.
But yeah, that's the thing. The Jets would have to give up everything, obviously, including that pick. But then it just gets down to the Texans are so completely discombobulated, Carl. Who knows what the heck they would do with that pick?
Well,
it's going to be a quarterback, but which quarterback would it be?
All right, let's talk to Brian Fisher, Athlon Sports. Brian, go ahead, answer that question. So if you're the Falcons, Mike said, who do you want? You want Wilson? You want Fields?
I understand that everybody's kind of making this a 1-2 combination. I really don't think you can kind of go wrong with either one. But honestly, you know, Justin Fields, Georgia native, bringing him home, I think that's a great storyline, you know, for the franchise in terms of where they want to move in the post-Matt Ryan era. And listen, I understand that everybody's enamored, about Zach Wilson's arm and what he can do on some of those plays that break down. But, you know, Justin Fields has been kind of that 1B to Trevor Lawrence for years now, and there's a reason for that. He ticks off a lot of those boxes in terms of what you want with a quarterback. He's got all the arm strength you want, the mobility. I would lean towards Justin Fields in this case. I don't know if I'd trade up to go get him up to number two, but I think that would be my pick if I'm the Falcons there.
I have heard Zach Wilson may have some character things that teams may be concerned about. Heard any of this?
You know, you hear it kind of on the edges there. You know, I know people make a big deal about him, like, not being named captain. I don't think that holds a ton of weight. You know, I think it's more of a talking point here in the long off season that we have. But, you know, I think more than anything with Zach Wilson that, you know, that's kind of covered up is the injury history. You know, that to me is the bigger driver for teams that might dock him, just staying healthy. I mean, he does have a little slender frame, you know, especially compared to somebody like Trey Lance or Justin Fields. But to me, it's the injury history more than anything that is probably going to, you know, dock Zach Wilson from being one of those top tier guys. But I think overall these teams are evaluating everything. And look, you're only getting bits and pieces of information this year. You know, there is no combine. You know, there are going to be pro days here and there, but still the scouts, the general managers, you're still not getting the level of information that you normally would have in a normal year.
Talking with Brian Fisher, guys, at Brian D. Fisher. He's columnist, see college football, NFL for Athlon Sports, also the Going for Two podcast. Joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. We're also in the mix where the Dolphins might go wide receiver. We're always concerned with what's going to happen ahead of us. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is a fait accompli, but everyone loves Jalen Waddle's game. Isn't Jamar Chase obviously going to be the much better pro? We didn't get to see him last year because he opted out, but Jamar Chase is the best wide receiver in college football. You believe that?
I think so, and I think everybody forgets, you know, just how special he was, you know, a season ago. I mean, just you talk about putting on that tape and the amount of plays that he was able to make, not just, you know, taking a play and taking a short gain and running with it, but, you know, down the field, making those big-time catches that, you know, you want to see in a guy that can go in the top five. And I do love Jalen Waddle. I love Devonta Smith, but Jamar Chase to me is still the number one guy at wide receiver. I mean, he is, you know, he's bigger, he's faster than both of those guys. And I think honestly, you know, he's a guy that you can kind of say that is a true number one in the league. Now it might take him a year or two or three to get up to that level, but in terms of ticking off those boxes, from the size, the intangibles, all that, to me, I would lean towards Jamar Chase, especially when you're talking about picking in the top five and really trying to land that impact wide receiver.
Now, Brian, I love Penei Sewell. I think if you really want to improve your team for the long haul, and I'm talking about our Falcons, you take Sewell and you keep it moving and you adjust accordingly, whatever that means, and wherever guys end up on this offensive line. But now for the last 2 years in the first round, you've gone after offensive linemen. And if you think Matt Ryan's going to play 4 or 5 more years, I don't know. Or you're going to switch quarterbacks here in the next few years. Either way, your O-line is set. What do you think about Penei Sewell?
I love him as a prospect. And maybe not the super-duper prospect, just in terms of I think he's a guy that can also kick inside, you know, if need be. You know, if you do have a guy that you like a left or right tackle, I still think he can be a Pro Bowl type of guard. He can be a Pro Bowl type of tackle as well. I mean, he is just ticking off all of those boxes in terms of the way he plays. He's got a bit of a nasty streak too. I think in terms of that run game where he can make a difference maker, you know, right away, whether it's at right tackle or over at his kind of more natural left tackle. And I just everything about his game, you know, I think can translate to that next level. And, you know, really starting there at number three with Miami, I think all the way on down, a lot of those teams are going to have to look hard and just see how he can kind of ripple effect. You know, if you improve one area at that offensive line position, you know, it can have such a boost to your overall offense. And that can be long term as well. You mentioned, you know, moving on from Matt Ryan eventually. We've seen now this offseason how easy it is to trade for veteran quarterbacks as well. So I think, you know, if your team's like that in Atlanta, you got to kind of keep that in mind. Hey, we can get an impact offensive lineman that really does not come along all that often and still get our quarterback, not only this year, but maybe down the road through trade or through the draft.
Talking about the draft with a guy who knows college and the pro game, Brian Fisher's with us, guys, from Athlon here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Because the edge rushers aren't like they were last year, Chase Young was everybody's go-to guy. Some of the best edge rushers, like Gregory Rousseau, we didn't see play because he opted out. Aziz Ojulari from Georgia, you know, he was solid, but it's funny, we don't really talk much about him, and we're right in the backyard for the Bulldogs. Who do you like as an outside linebacker slash edge guy? Who's the impact guy?
Well, I do think it kind of starts with Rousseau. Just the intangibles, you know, all the physical tools that he has, and really kind of still growing as a prospect. I mean, I think the upside that you get with a guy like that is really to have an impact player on every single snap that he's coming off the edge. And I think the ability for him to add some additional moves to his arsenal, and once he gets to that next level and gets that NFL coaching, I think is really going to elevate him kind of as a prospect. And I think you can kind of go from him to a lot of those linebackers. And I think you look at Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame, another guy that a little bit smaller, certainly more of a linebacker type coming off the edge, but he can give you a lot of juice in that pass rush as well. I think it's going to be interesting because I think this year, more than any, at this position, you know, those guys coming off the edge, teams are going to be all over the map. So you're going to have a surprise or two, especially in that first round of guys maybe dropping compared to a lot of those mock drafts, guys maybe going higher compared to a lot of those mock drafts, just because of, teams are going to be all over because this is just such a difficult year to evaluate that position.
We talk college football each and every day. It's brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
Yeah, man, BrightBoxElectrical.com. If you're looking for the ultimate man cave, home automation, home security, they can do it all. Go to B-R-I-T-E, BrightBoxElectrical.com.
We need safeties. We need corners. Who's the best corner in this draft, in your opinion? And then who's the best safety? Because, I'm looking at a bunch of guys that I don't think are day one picks when you look at safeties. But maybe I'm wrong about that. What do you think?
I think, you can start with the TCU safety, Trevon Moehrig. I think he's kind of the guy at safety. I really think there's kind of a gap between him and really everybody else, to be honest. Now, would I spend maybe a top 10 to 15 pick on there? I don't know if I would kind of grade him that high. But in terms of a guy who's super smart on the field, can drop in right away in an NFL defense, he was asked to do so much in that Gary Patterson system. And really, he can play all over. You know, if you wanted to bump him up even to play a bit of a nickel, cover tight ends or whatever, he's a versatile guy. And you add to that really the smarts of being somebody that's been in that defensive system for a long time. I think he's kind of the guy at safety. Now, I think the corner opinion, it's going to be split. I think it's going to be a lot to have to do with, what goes on in your system. Whether you want more of a Jace Horn, that can play up a little bit closer to the line. Obviously, Patrick Surtain's going to be, kind of the guy that a lot of people are talking about because he's so polished. He's going to be able to come in and play right away. He's got that NFL pedigree already. He knows what's going to be expected to him. Of him as a top 10 pick. And he's obviously coming from that Nick Saban's finishing school. He's a guy that I think is going to play right away. The real question in my mind is do you want to take a chance on the upside of a guy, like Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. And I think he physically, he has everything there, but he's a guy that has really only played corner for a couple of years now, converted high school quarterback, played wide receiver initially at Virginia Tech. He's a guy that is still growing in that position. And if you want to kind of give him a little seasoning and think that he can be that top tier quarterback at the next level, I would say go for it. But he's going to be a prospect that you're still going to have to give a little bit of time with.
Talking about what's going on with the draft and kind of trying to nail all the positions down that the Falcons are looking for, one thing we're going to try to do here is get a power running game. And that's the thing. There's arguments that, Najee Harris, and that's almost like, no, we've got to pick once in the first round and we're not going to have a chance to get that running back. Let's talk about the other guys, because Travis Etienne, Najee Harris, do you like Javonte Williams? Do you like Kenneth Gainwell from Memphis? The other guys who might be there, Trey Sermon from Oklahoma. Give me some guys that maybe would go on days 2 and 3.
Yeah, well, I love Kenneth Gainwell. I think he's a guy that just adds so much, especially in the passing game, to what you want to do in this modern NFL, to where you got to have a threat at a running back, and not just in terms of those hot reads and when pressure's in your face, but I think he's a dynamic guy that you can kind of slot there in the slot if need be. Do a lot of different things in those formations. So I do like him. Maybe a little, top of the second round, a little bit too rich for my blood, but in terms of that middle and back half. Would make a lot of sense for a lot of people. I know Javonte Williams, I think the tape isn't there necessarily in terms of the amount of carries that he has, but he's going to be fresh, shared carries down there in North Carolina. Pretty solid in the passing game, but just the explosiveness that he has, between the tackles, I think definitely does make him one of those kind of early day two gut type of guys. And I think it's a fascinating class for running backs, because there's a lot of a lot of good players, you know, and even in the back half of that first round, you look at, you know, Cleveland, you look at Baltimore. I mean, a lot of those teams might be open to kind of trading back into the second round. So if you do see, you know, the opportunity to go up and you really love, you know, Najee Harris, you know, Travis Etienne, maybe you can go get those at the back half of the first round and probably not give up a whole heck of a lot in terms of that draft capital to make a move either.
This is not a great draft for what position?
I would say edge rusher, you know, and defensive end, just because of the talent drop-off, I think, at that position is pretty stark. You know, I think the offensive tackles, it's a pretty good year for offensive tackles, but maybe not quite to what we've been seeing at guards. Now, it's always difficult because you can always you think some of these tackles are going to have to kick inside, so you don't know how that transition is going to work. But if I had to pick just one, it would definitely be kind of that edge rusher defensive end because – frankly, there's not the elite talent that we're used to seeing at that spot. And then I think the depth really does kind of drop off quite a bit, especially when you're talking about some of those day two, day three type of guys that you normally would count on to kind of make an impact and contribute some snaps here. I don't know if there's that many of them compared to past years.
Good stuff, man. We appreciate you jumping on with us. We'll do it again here as we get closer and closer to the draft. Brian Fisher, follow him, guys. Athlon Sports, Brian D. Fisher. Appreciate the time today. Good stuff, man.
Great to be on with you guys.
Cool.
All right, guys.
Carl, I was going to say, I'm sorry to interrupt, brother. We, you know, all these mock drafts we've been doing, but that's the thing. You guys are, I know we want to get that big running back, but you can get a good running back, you know, in the second or third round. I think you heard that from Brian. And, of course, you know, corners. There's like different tiers of corners. You've really got to commit to a corner in the first or trading back in the bottom of the first. Otherwise, it's guys that are going to be kind of like what we have right now with the Falcons, with the exception of Terrell.
Yeah, Mike, that's a good point. This thing, man, I mean, again, there's no exact science, but there are things that make more sense than right. others. And that's really what we're trying to do when we kind of focus in on where our team is and what we need to do. Hey, we're going to come back. Brian Snicker, pretty happy with the depth. Bell, been a busy, busy day. We're going to dive back into some NFL news of the day with Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson coming up at 5:20. We have pushed back our man Clint Capella. Hawks getting ready to head to Oklahoma City. They've got a game tomorrow night, but he's going to join us now, it looks like around 6:05, somewhere okay. around there. So we'll talk to Clint Capella from our Hawks. Big win last night, by the way, and we will talk more about that as well here on the show. Talking a lot of draft, talking about all these moves that potentially could be made in the NFL and where our team is going. And thanks again to Brian Fisher, who stopped by from Athlon Sports, talking about all these different potential scenarios, Mike. I mean, again, guy hit us up, and I want to get your thoughts on this before we talk about the Braves. He said, Dukes, our corners are fine. Mike, I only trust one guy.
Our corners are not fine, dude.
Well,
again, but it's the old chicken and the egg argument. When you have no pass rush and you got young guys, it's a young secondary. You know, I mean, look, Isaiah Oliver was a miss, okay? Dimitroff blew it on Isaiah Oliver or Quinn or whatever, whoever the hell made the decision. He wasn't worth the second round pick. You know, he's solid, but he's not, you know, let's be honest. They had to work with it till they finally found a place where he could hurt you the least, right? And that was kind of in the nickel.
Yes.
So that's the reality. Sheffield is still raw. And A.J. Terrell was basically matching up as a rookie against everybody's best player and did a pretty darn good job. But, no, we are not strong at corner. We're going to have to get a corner, guys.
Yeah.
Period.
I trust A.J., and I just said to him, so yeah. I understand, you know, are there more pressing needs?
Yeah.
Yes.
But this goes back. But, again, this is how – this was my old regime, which used to drive me crazy. They always felt the pass rush, Dimitroff in particular, came from the back. And you would have better corners, and that would help your front four, where some teams say, let's go get some real fire breathers, and that will take the pressure off the corners. And, again, if the quarterback's got to get rid of the ball longer – how many times, Carl, the last couple of years, are the quarterbacks just sitting there? You can count four Mississippis, right? And they're patting the ball.
One,
you know, Vic Beasley has been pirouetted outside the pocket. Tack McKinley is stuck in. Side and nothing gets done. So I'd love to see us go get some edge rushers, but again, not a robust market for free agency. You know what? It's like a second year of free agency. By going into 3-4, can Dante Fowler have an impact? Right? Look at it that way. I know fans don't want to hear that, but we're already paying this guy a king's ransom. Let's hope Fowler upgrades. You just heard from our draft guys. It's a real kind of shooting darts as far as edge rushers and outside linebackers this year.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to. And this is why I like the 3-4 move all along. I've been saying Dean Pease, I didn't know if he would be the coach or not, but I even like that more because of his experience with it and having, you know, rings and having Super Bowl caliber defenses. But I think it's just going to come from how you draw things up. It's not going to be one dominant guy. I'd love to tell you Fowler Mike is going to be a double-digit sack guy. He's got to prove that to me. I mean, he did nothing last year. And if he was injured, okay, we'll chalk that up to injury, and then you got to come back this year and see. But I think it's going to be a lot of how we draw things up and how we challenge these quarterbacks Sunday to Sunday, much more than it is we have the dominant pass rusher in the game. You know what I mean? I don't feel that right way with where we're at right now.
No. I mean, all but right, that's a good, it goes back. We need all of it. We need to help on the back end, but we also got to get some guys in the front. Oh, by the way, we need to get more safeties, too, either through like mid to low-level free agents or the draft.
Let's talk about the Braves. Falcon Report is on the way, 5 o'clock. We got Yeah Man, No Man coming up as well here in 10 minutes. Christian Pache, Mike and I have spent a lot of time talking about the center field position. Him and Ender Inciarte are competing. At least that's what they're saying. But Brian Snicker was asked specifically about how Pache set himself up last year. Remember, NLCS, he went 4-for-22, a double, a homer, but the kid carried himself the way you need to, and I think it showed the organization that he was ready for the bigs.
I thought he handled himself unbelievable, you know, really. Testament to him and the work he did at the alternate site, and staying ready, and it's a rough situation to put him in, and big kind of the, you know, the big stage, and really, even now, I mean, he looks like a different guy now just coming to camp over what he did a year ago.
So that's great news.
Right. I mean, the dude had to kind of get pushed into service. And the, I mean, think about the pressure, Carl, of the postseason, you know. And I thought, as Dave O'Brien said, you know, he went 1-for-4, had, you know, had some moments, you know, was contributing, had some good at-bats where he actually drew a walk as a rookie, you know, in a postseason against that great Dodger pitching. So I'm excited. I mean, as we said, we've been hearing about this guy, so, you know, forever. Is he going to be a home run hitter? Not necessarily, but, you know, in some of these ballparks in the National League, I think he's going to have some pops, but it's going to all be about watching this guy be the next most amazing fielder since Andrew Jones. That's the way everyone's been talking about his fielding. And we love Ender. And Ender, like, if Ender can contribute this year, great, in his final year as the Braves, and Brian Snicker being Snicker is going to be respectful of Ender and say it's an open competition. But we know where this is going.
Yeah, but here's the deal, and it's not like you can hide him, but Pache is going to be at the bottom of the lineup anyway. So there's not going to be a lot of pressure on him. And I'm not saying he needs to strike out every time. I'm simply saying he's not in the middle of this lineup, and we're demanding 120 RBIs out of him every, you know, next season. That's not where he's going to be in this lineup, even if he does start. Speaking of starting, Snicker was asked about his reps in spring. Here's what he said.
Yeah, we'll play him in center field. You know, I mean, I think always going to be open to put him out there, you know, we got a lot of outfielders in camp all of a sudden, and we're just going to have to do our best to get playing time.
So, you know, that's what spring is about, right? Your veteran guys, you know what they can do. They don't need as many at-bats unless you want to get them in. That's fine. And remember now, Freddie Freeman is a part of this you know, coaching staff. And so he'll be helping guys with the hitting and all of that. So, Mike, maybe that's a big help for some of the guys that have struggled.
Yep.
But, again, you look at where we were at last year, one of the best offensive teams in the National League, which is why we were in the NLCS, but so were the Dodgers, so were the Rays, and everybody else at the end were all great offensively. I don't expect us to have a big fall off. I just hope guys continue to build on what they did last year.
But you are expecting Pache to kind of do what Acuna did. Acuna was ranking and came in, and once they finally got him to the club, you know, stepped in. And, you know, remember, you and I were upset that they sent him down to Gwinnett. I hope that, Dave O'Brien told us, a lot of guys feel that Pache will be ready to roll. And by the way, I said 1-for-4. He was one home run with 4 RBIs. He was 4-for-22 in the postseason for the Bravos when they brought him up. But when Duvall went down. But I'm excited. And Chipper, you just mentioned, Chipper working with Austin Riley. Who was it? Was it Jim Bowden who said he thinks that Austin Riley is going to have a breakout year, which is music to the ears. Imagine if he adds some real big numbers, RBIs, home runs, and average for Austin Riley in that lineup.
I know. You know, I've said this, and I don't know who it's going to be. It could be Riley. It could be Pache. It could be Albies. That plays above their head and gives us more than what we expected when the season's over. And I'm wondering who that's going to be. Like, if you had a chance and said, okay, I'm going to put $20 down, and it's going to be one of these players. It can't be Freddie, because Freddie's Freddie, and he's going to be consistent. And Acuna has been in the MVP hunt the last couple of years, and he's going to be what we expect him to be. I don't think it'll be Ozuna. Again, you sign him for a specific reason of what he was capable of. Those guys are expected to do certain things. Who's going to achieve and go above and beyond? And Mike, Austin Riley is a guy that is a prime example that he could be that guy.
Right. And this is a guy that, again, what is going to be? You and I always joke around about Dansby. You know, what is Dansby supposed to be a, 225 hitter? No, we want to be 250 and up, right? That's what we're expecting from this guy. And like right now for his career, Dansby's 250 hitter right now. Could use a little bit more there, too, right? I mean, we felt that Dansby finally got off. Remember those Braves fans? Get off Dansby's back! No, but I mean, there's a guy that everybody can do more, including better base running in the postseason. I digress. But certainly you need to see this lineup hold where they were. It was a moment. It was a big moment in the game, you know. But anyway, as far as...
It was.
But as far as this year, Mets are better. You know, Phillies are the Phillies, but, and the Nats got the great pitch. We can't take a step backwards. That's why it was so imperative to keep Ozuna here. And again, it's going to be fine with him in the outfield. Fine, but the season can't start soon enough. Just want to make sure that we got the bullpen set up. I think we could probably use one more guy there, or we'll wait and see if Alex just waits till the trade deadline there. But do you envision this team, because of the experience, if Soroka can just get right back in the mix sooner than later, that we're right back where we have been? There's no fall off. On paper, we should be right back where we are. And that means winning this division and hopefully taking the next step and actually beating the Dodgers, despite all the things that they've got that we don't have.
Yeah, and here's the other part, too, about this year that I don't know if we know yet. So if we win the division, remember last year was neutral site, which completely took away from the feel of what this is going to be. Now, I want you to fast forward. It's February. Where are we going to be late September, October with COVID-19? I don't know. I think we're going to be a lot better place as a country. And my point is, Mike, if we do win the division again, I kind of really hope, even if it's 50% capacity, even if it's 75% capacity, that we do get a home field advantage. But that neutral site thing didn't play to our favor. Now, we played fine, and we had the 3-1 lead, and we still should have won the series. But I'd like to see that, if we're going to get back to where we were, being at home.
But again, Austin Riley, if he takes a big leap, I mean, that would be something to be excited about. That's why when Jim Bowden mentioned it, you and I both kind of like our eyebrows raised. That would be great. And again, we've also got all the depth. I think you've seen a nice job. You know, Lamb is a nice piece at third base. You can plug in at first if you want to give Freddie a day off.
All right, guys, plenty more to get to. Yeah, man, no man is on the way. Why will we move down two spots to get a guy that we could get it for if you really wanted to? And, again, the debate continues. We will get into that coming up at 5 with our Falcon Report. But Bo Morgan joins us next. Bell Falcon Report's on the way. Brian Baldinger, our buddy, did a breakdown of one of the quarterbacks in this draft, and a guy sent it to us, JT3. And JT was like, Dukes and Bell, look at this guy. And, of course, you know, again, Mike, we talk about it. Highlight films. And I'm not saying that they're not, you know, accurate, but you make them out to be what you want. I want to see the worst plays. I've always said this about guys. Don't show me the best plays. Show me the plays that didn't work and how it worked out.
Right.
But he's talking about Trey Lance, and obviously, you know, Lance, I think, is going to be a top 10 pick. But remember this, and we'll get to Yeah Man, No Man here in a second. If you're taking somebody in the top 10, no matter who they are, they got to be a game-changing kind of player for your organization.
They got to be a playmaker, Carl.
Got to be, Mike. And especially if you're talking about a quarterback. If you take a quarterback 4, okay, and this is my issue with this, and we'll get more into this at 5 o'clock. If you take quarterback 4 and you let him sit a year, okay, that's fine. But we got to be talking about this guy taking our franchise back to the Super Bowl. You don't take a guy 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 at that position and don't expect those kind of things over the next decade.
Again, I've now come to peace with my decision, Carl, that you forced me into the corner the other day, or the listeners did. No, there's always one angry guy like, you guys said this, now you're saying that. So finally I just snapped, like, all right, fine, I want Fields. So I want Fields. Can I trade down and get Fields? I love that even better, but not likely. Trey Lance, I'm down with it, because either one's going to sit for at least a year. But anyway, we'll talk more about that coming up in the Falcon Report.
All right, man, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. All right, bro, what is going on today, my man?
Well, you know, it was a beautiful day outside, and rode the golf cart around, and now I did splash and dash with Mike Conti, and now I got a guy yelling at me on Twitter that's saying that the banning of cigarette smoking in the stands killed NASCAR. So I'm dealing with that. So it's a wonderful.
Well, I mean, it was a big part of a lot of people's playbooks back then, Squid. Wow. By the way, Carl,
still smoke in stands, by the way.
I know, but
I've been to.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I was going to tell you to stop, but I mean, at a NASCAR race. But yeah. Still, I mean, to me, you know, Carl, doing radio and doing those events in North Wilkesboro, my God, we would come back with like three cartons of Winston's. It was the greatest deal ever.
I bet. And you know what? It's true. Like there are some industries, like even in our industry, we talk about like cocaine, was a part of our industry.
Major part of it.
NASCAR, smoking was like a part of the culture, was it not? So, Squid, I don't think this guy is necessarily off base with what he's saying.
Removing Winston from the sport, like, you know, the Winston 500, yeah, that hurt financials.
Right.
But telling people they couldn't smoke in the stands did absolutely nothing. People still smoke in the stands, by the way. I've never seen one person removed from a NASCAR race for smoking. And by the way, I've been to a lot of tracks, and they all have people smoking around me. If they tell you you can't bring in booze, then you might have a problem.
Yeah, that's the thing, okay. Carl. If they ever stop, you're bringing the cooler in. And by the way, I got my tickets. You get your ticket. Are you going to the race with me? Do you ever figure out what you want to do, Carl? I mean, I got four tickets for Atlanta Motor Speedway. I picked them up.
Is that the March race or the summer race?
Yeah, it's a March race, man. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be a blast. I'm knock wood for good weather, but I have not been excited about NASCAR. And I know we've been talking about this for a while on the show. In about 10 years, I love the moves they're making. You know, I mean, I think it's some great decisions with the schedule. You know, there's some really, there are some good, finally, they finally got some people with some good ideas in charge at NASCAR, Squid.
Yeah, there's two races, guys, by the way, that are going to be here. March is the early race.
And then July, the summer. The 11th, right.
The weather will certainly be a lot cooler in March. Mike, I didn't know you had four tickets. Yeah, we got to talk about that. We'll talk
right
about
on.
That. Okay, go ahead, Bo.
Well, some people would disagree with you. This sport is dead. So anyways, all right. Roy Williams, scheduled Marquette. North Carolina plays Marquette. They lose. And then he was asked the good old question where the reporter had a question that he wanted to ask, and he blamed the fans for it. And this is what he asked.
What would you say to Carolina fans who are questioning whether or not
I understand why he said no to schedule this game
considering the result?
Well, if I'd known we were going to lose, God
I'll wait.
What would it have sounded like had we actually heard the audio?
If you knew you were going to lose Marquette, you know, why did you schedule this game? Why would you play?
Oh, somebody asked that question? Oh, that's a dumb question. That is a dumb question.
And Roy went the route of, hey, basically, look, that's a stupid question, and I think Carolina fans are smarter than that. Of course, we wouldn't have played the game if we know we were going to lose it.
I don't think you say that either.
Yeah, I mean, so basically, did this guy get? Did they kick him out? Or what happened? What was the end result of this?
No, Roy got real snippy with him, and it was played much better if we actually had the soundbite played.
So did the kid sound like somebody got stuffed in a locker? Is what you're trying to intimate? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it was the classic where he had the question. He didn't think they should have scheduled, so he asked it and basically blamed it on the fans. And Roy was like, look, yeah, we're never going to play a game we think we're going to lose. Of course, if I thought we could beat the Lakers, we would have scheduled the Lakers. You know, if I had known we were going to win. But the fact of the matter is that's not what we do here. And he goes, and I think Carolina fans are smarter than that. I don't think they're stupid enough to think that.
It's a 500 Marquette team, by the way, that Carolina any other year would probably beat, but it's a down year for everybody else in the ACC.
It is. All the blue bloods, we've been talking about this. Duke, Kentucky, it's just been a down year. So, yeah, I mean, I'd love to hear the soundbite. Maybe we'll get a chance to hear it later on, but I get the gist of what you're saying. I just wondered, I thought Roy might have, like, get him out of here, kicked him out or something.
Questioning whether or not it made
sense. No, Roy didn't go that route. He was just very... He didn't, you know, he had that. Remember that the Kansas when Kansas lost to Syracuse and Roy was the coach, and he.
I got 12 kids crying their eyes out. I could give a blank about Carolina. Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He kind of had that kind of vile in his tone. You know, okay. It was just great. It was classic. I love Roy Williams soundbites. I think He's fun to play cuts from when he gets angry. You know, he's not like, Coach K, but I think he's good, and I enjoyed it. All right.
Again, it would be a lot better if we had the audio, but again, it's something jammed up on the computer.
Well, you know what? Stuff happens. I'm not gonna blame anybody.
But Squid, give me the nerdy voice one more time. I can't get enough of the Squid nerdy voice. What the guy sound like?
Well, you know, why would you schedule the game if you're gonna lose it? You know. All right.
Later we'll get the audio and we'll compare and contrast. Now, what about Meek Mill?
Meek Mill has a song out. In his new song called Don't Worry, R.I.P. Kobe. And Vanessa Bryant is not very happy. There was a quote that came out that said, if I ever lack, I'm going out with my chopper, it be another Kobe.
Oh, snap.
And so Vanessa Bryant did not like this. She released a statement saying, I find this line to be extremely insensitive and disrespectful, period. I am not familiar with any of your music, but I believe you can do better than this. Mm. If you are a fan, fine. There's a better way to show your admiration for my husband. This lacks respect and tact. So, yeah, man, no, man, this is a disrespectful line.
Yeah, it's a little too soon, Carl. A little tacky, don't you think?
It is. And, you know, I get – rappers always trying to make the analogies of things that are, you know, happening in real life or things that have happened and try to make that translate to their music. But yeah, this is, and again, I don't want to say off limits because, you know, again, we don't have comedy shows. People aren't talking about this event in a way that maybe, you know, you could bring some different kind of light to it. But I don't know how you bring any kind of light to that tragedy, Mike.
Yeah,
I don't know
really,
why you even would bring that up. You know what I mean?
There's nowhere to go with that. Yeah. That's not right.
That's not right.
Yeah, I mean, you got Kyrie, by the way, just said that they should change the logo to Kobe Bryant. You know, there's been talk about that. And actually, you know, the idea that, you know, Jerry West is the logo right now. But yeah, shame on you, Meek Mill. Bad timing.
It is. That's poor judgment. Poor judgment.
All right, real quick, we're close to, up to it. Recently, I read this earlier today, Twitter has been exploring tipping and super follows. A super follow would be where users can super follow accounts and they'd be paying for a subscription. So you get exclusive content to pay for. Kind of like, I don't know, maybe an OnlyFans or something. So
right,
I just
thought
it was interesting because I'm like, there's no way I'm paying to follow anybody's garbage on Twitter. But who is the one person you can think of right off the top of your head that you would pay for their content that you get from Twitter?
Yikes. I don't know, man.
I gotta think about that. You know me, how I feel about doing anything a la carte these days.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know if I'd pay because, again, you know, every one of these comments or information or whatever you want to call them, content, they're not all gems. So, you know, it's not as if you're getting something special every day.
Actually, that's not true, Carl. When I go to the Mike Bell Pay platform, you'll get to see the dog chasing the cat. You'll get to see me lounging around the pool. That's pretty exciting content.
I will say this, though. The OnlyFans, you use the OnlyFans reference. I mean, OnlyFans is different because, again, it's usually having to do with skin, right? I mean, that's different. So I don't know, man. I got to really think about if I would be willing to pay for going from a free platform to a platform that now you're getting charged to see the same things that you're getting free.
We don't know about that. I want to go see Tony. Yes, I would pay to see Tony Barnhart in Myrtle Beach shagging and having a good time. I would pay to see that, Carl. If Tony's listening, I would pay to see Tony.
All right, Bo, man, let's get out of here.
Chris, hit the music. Let's go.
I say, son, we're going to hit the Spanish Galleon tonight, Carl.
I don't know, man. That's interesting because there are a lot of cool, interesting follows, but, like, I'm not – I don't know, Mike.
Yeah,
I don't know
I'm with you. I got to be honest with you. And it's funny, every commercial you see for now, all these premium versions of stuff, it's like, look, I'm not going to spend extra money to watch Mike Rowe on Dirty Jobs. I'm just not.
Right.
You know, I'm just not going to do that.
The streaming stuff. All right, the phone call was made. Don't know if it was short or long, but at the end of it, he said the same thing he's been saying. Meanwhile, there's new information with another quarterback. We'll get into all of that and more coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.